28 hours, 57 minutes, and Ascension does have LOS. We're in the process now of handing over from the white team, led by Flight Director Gene Kranz, to the gold team, with Flight Director Jerry Griffin. Next station to acquire will be Tananarive. In about 6 minutes, however, as you heard, Stu Russo said he would not attempt to contact the crew over the Tananarive station. We will stand by in case the crew wants to put in a call to us. But the voice quality experience over Tananarive today has been pretty bad. So it's very likely that the next station over which we will have communications will be Carnarvon at 29 hours, 19 minutes. The crew is in the process of powering down the spacecraft for the night, going into drifting flight. During the next hour, they will be eating, and then their rest period begins at 30 hours even. This is Mission Control at 28 hours, 58 minutes.
Well, this is Apollo Control. Good afternoon from the Gold Team. Here at Mission Control, we've completed the shift changeover. Flight Director Jerry Griffin's crew has replaced the White Team. And they've made a status check of the consoles here, and they indicate that they are ready to support Apollo 9. The spacecraft will come within range of the tracking station at Carnarvon in a matter of a minute or so. At that time, we expect some conversation between the crew and the Capcom. In the meantime, we estimate that the change of shift briefing involving the participants on the white team will start here in Houston at 3:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll be standing by momentarily for expected air-to-ground conversation between Houston and the crew at Carnarvon. This is Apollo Control standing by. We've acquired the spacecraft at the Carnarvon Tracking Station. Standing by. Thank you. While we're waiting for air-to-ground conversation, we have received refined tracking data on the apogee and perigee from the last SPS burn. And we understand that it was 200, the resulting perigee was 272 nautical miles and 109.3 nautical miles.
Apollo 9, this is Houston through Carnarvon, standing by.
Okay, Houston, you're coming in 5 square,
Oh, it's Sterling, 5 square.
Okay, and we've got some readouts for you. Did you copy the RCS?
We copied the RCS quantities.
Okay, here come the BAT voltages, BAT-C, 37.0. Pyro A, 37.1. Pyro B, 37.1. And I've got the injector temperatures for you.
Roger, I copy the battery voltages. Go with the injector temperatures.
Roger, 5 C and D, off scale high. 6 A and B, off scale high. 6 Charlie and Delta, respectively 4.0 and 4.6.
Roger, copy 5. Charlie and Delta off scale high. 6 Alpha and Bravo off scale high. And Charlie and Delta 4.0 and 4.6.
That's Charlie.
Okay, and I'd like to confirm with you that before you sack out, you'll turn the fan on in H2 tank 2.
Roger, we will, and be advised, it doesn't look like we're going to get down to 175.
Roger, we confirm that. And another thing, we'd like to recommend that tonight you turn your VHFB receiver off. We will be guarding that frequency on the ground, and we will be monitoring the spacecraft, and if we can't get through to you on A, VHFA, we'll use the crew alert.
Okay, we'll turn Bravo off. You want us to stay just in Simplex A?
That is affirmative. Simplex Alpha, and turn off your VHFB.
Okay, we're Simplex Alpha at this time, and we're ready with the block data then.
Roger, it'll still be a little bit, the weather shifting those sites around. I do not have the block data for you yet. And I would like to confirm that we will be monitoring B frequency if you need to bring it up and transmit.
Roger, understand. You'll be listening on B also. Thank you.
Roger.
Thank you.
We expect additional conversation between the ground and the crew on this pass, so we'll just continue to monitor and stand by.
Houston.
Go ahead, Houston. Apollo 9.
Raj, I've only got about 2 minutes here at Carnarvon. I'd like to start the block data, though, and finish it up over Guam.
Okay, ready to copy.
Raj, reading block data 021 4 Alpha plus 325 minus 1610. 032 44 34 3859 022 4 Charlie plus 259er minus 1610 034 19er 01 38 59er 023 4 Charlie plus 145 minus 1675 035 56 03 48 56 024 Alpha Charlie minus 216 minus 007 0 036 24 11 53 9 or 7. I believe I've lost you.
We have an indication here at Mission Control that the spacecraft has moved out of range of the Carnarvon tracking station. It will be reacquired by the site at Guam in another 3 minutes or so. We'll come up at that time. At 29 hours, 30 minutes into the flight of Apollo 9, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control at 29 hours, 32 minutes into the flight. We expect acquisition at Guam momentarily. At that time, CAPCOM will transmit some final data up to the crew. And if all goes well as planned, that will be about our last conversation with them, for we plan to have them go into their rest cycle immediately after loss of signal at Guam. In the meantime, we'll stand by here. We have acquisition at the present time. We'll stand by and listen for air to ground.
Houston, do you read through Guam?
Houston, Apollo 9. Roger, we'll read you. How
else? I'll read you 5 square. How far did I get?
Okay, I got to the last line in 24 Alpha Charlie, and I got a 5-3 there, and that's all.
Okay, the last line in Alpha Charlie is 5-3-9-7. And reading on the next one, 0-2-5-4 Charlie minus 1-7-8 minus 1-6 20. 039er. 13. 13. 8020. Zero. The last one. 026. Alpha Charlie. Minus 042. Minus 026. 0039er. 3359er. 4000. That's the end of the update. I'd like to go back to the third line and 4 Charlie 0234 Charlie. The third one I read. The third line in that should be minus 1625. And the your SPS trim angles pitch minus 0.9er, yaw minus 0.7.
Okay, read back on them all. Do we have enough time to read them all back?
Apollo 9, before you start the read back, we'd like to have you turn on the H2 purge heaters. And what we're working up to is just before your rest period, it looks like we're going to have to purge to get the pressure in H2 cryo tanks down to 175.
Roger, we've got the H2 purge heater on.
I understand, and I'm ready for the read back.
Roger. 021-4 alpha plus 325 minus 1610 032-4434 3859er 022-4 Charlie plus 259er minus 1610 034-19er 01 3859er 023-4 Charlie plus 145 minus 1625 035-5603-4856. Are you still with us?
Rog, we've got 3 minutes left.
Okay, 024 Alpha Charlie minus 216 minus 0070 036-2411 5397 0254 Charlie minus 178 minus 1620 039er 1313 8020 026 Alpha Charlie minus 042 minus 0260 039er 3359er 4000 pitch 0.9, yaw 0.7. That's a minus and a minus.
That's affirmative. Houston confirms that update. We still got about 2.5 minutes left in this pass. We'll see what our words of wisdom are on the tanks, and that should be the last time we'll have to talk to you tonight, I believe.
Okay.
Can we talk to you if we want to?
Okay, Apollo 9, the way we'd like to do it is after your time is up on the heaters to go ahead and do a purge as required to get it down to 175 and discontinue the purge, turn the heaters off, and turn the fan on in tank 2.
All right, Roger, I understand when the 20 minutes is up, you want us to purge H2 on all three fuel cells until the cryo gets down to 175, discontinue the purge, turn the fan on in tank 2 and sank out.
That is affirmative. One other item we'd like to get, if you can give it to us, is a dosimeter reading.
Roger. Stand by. I'll give you mine.
Okay. Apollo 9 if that was a transmission. I didn't get it. Apollo 9, you read Houston?
We have an indication that the spacecraft has moved out of range of the tracking station at Guam at 29 hours, 40 minutes into the flight of Apollo 9. Now, this is Mission Control.
We were essentially in the nominal orbits that we had planned, both pre-mission as well as in our maneuver planning for the day. After SPS-3, the crew advised that they had a O2 high flow indication on fuel cell number 3. It appears we may have either a sticky transducer or a slightly sticky purge valve. This is not giving us any problems at the present time, and the O2 flow in fuel cell number 3 is normal. Similarly, on the SPS number 3, the crew identified that their propellant utilization system was giving them some problems and was giving them some master alarms during the burn. We discussed this in between SPS 3 and 4 and decided to disable the propellant gauging system for the SPS 4 burn. We at one time thought we had some problems with the onboard tape recorder, the voice recordings on board. However, we believe that is a ground problem in the playbacker, the evaluation techniques we use for evaluating his dump voice data. We've made some more checks on it, and that seems to be performing properly. And I guess that's basically about it. You probably heard some improvement in the air-to-ground voice communications. We were running some tests over Hawaii just prior to the SPS-4 burn to see if we could improve the communications and use some of the techniques we'll be using during the rendezvous day. Made some checks on the comm system and found out that some of the modes we were using or intending to use for rendezvous would be somewhat better than we had been using throughout the mission to date. So I think you'll find a slight improvement in the overall communications. As I said, we disabled the propellant gauging system for the SPS-4 burn. The SPS-4 burn was conducted on time. The burn was go, and at the present time, they're powering down the spacecraft and getting the crew ready to go to sleep. All I can say is that the flight plan today was essentially nominal. So,
question? Roy Neal?
Yes, Gene, can you give us a good cut at the TV transmission time expectable in the morning?
Tommy?
As close as possible.
Can you give them a guesstimate as to what the TV pass will be tomorrow?
It's nominal. It'll be the same time as scheduled in the flight plan, and that is, in just 1 second, 4627 to 4634. It might be a few minutes off from that, but it won't be very much.
You'd get a tighter fix on that based on AOS, LOS?
Later this evening there will be, but right now I don't have anything.
As you say, it might be as much as, what, seconds out or minutes out?
3 or 4 minutes at the most.
3 or 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, then we would like to get a
Yeah, what they'll have to do, they'll have to wait until the ephemeris settles down after the burn, then they'll have to extrapolate out till tomorrow.
What time do you think you might be able to give us a good tight fix on
expectable AOS? Well, I believe that they'd probably have it now, or I'd say within the next rev easily.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Johnny, why don't you call over and see if they can get a good hack as to what time the TV pass will be tomorrow. They can tell that.
Gene, you mentioned that you're disabling the gauging system for the SPS-4 burn. Would you explain whether that's permanently disabling it or you can put it back in use?
That's why I brought Neil over.
Well, we haven't made up our mind whether to permanently disable it or not yet. I guess probably the reason that we disabled it, particularly for SPS-4, frankly, is that it was bothering the crew. And the reason it was bothering the crew, you remember last night, Charlie Dumas talked a little bit about the master caution and warning and the buzzer in the ear and all that stuff. And it's kind of disconcerting to have something like that going off in your ear while that engine is on, and especially when it's doing it as often as it was doing it with the pugs. And we don't understand exactly what's wrong with it, but we appear to have an anomalous operation in there somewhere. We didn't have time to do any significant troubleshooting between SPS-3 and SPS-4. The burns were about a couple hours apart, about a rev and a half. And so we chose to turn it off. Now, the pug's ability, we have one big burn left, and that's SPS-5 as far as length goes. And it's 42 seconds long. And the pug's ability to do us a lot of good is dependent upon the length of the burn. In fact, for short burns, anything less than about 5 seconds, it doesn't even update. It doesn't even track the propellant. And so SPS 6 and 7, which are short burns, it really wouldn't do us much good. I don't know what kind of troubleshooting we're going to be able to cook up between now and SPS 5 that we may assure ourselves that we're not going to get any more caution and warnings. SPS-5 is a very important burn that we wouldn't care to disturb them. So based on all that, I'd say my leanings at the moment is we'll never put it back in work. However, that doesn't mean we won't. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Your master alarm difficulty, is that related to the pugs or is that something else? Now,
yes, sir.
I know the alarm. I see. So the alarm won't go off then during the burn?
The alarm connected with the propellant utilization system won't go off during a burn. Any other alarm will. We were able to disable just that input to the caution and warning system. The rest of the caution and warning system is completely operative.
Gene, could you give us the official parameters on the burns, times, and feet per second?
Let's see. You want them on SPS 2, 3, and 4, or just 3 and 4?
4.
Okay,
3 and
3 4. And 4. The burn was at 25, 17, 38.2. The delta V was 2,570.7 feet per second. The burn time was 281.8 seconds. The resultant apogee and perigee, 271.8 and 109.4. That's SPS-3. SPS-4 was performed at 28 hours, 24 minutes, 40.3 seconds. The velocity, delta V, was 300.5 feet per second. The time of the burn, delta T of the burn, was 28.2 seconds. Go ahead. The time of the burn was 28.2 seconds. The resultant apogee and perigee was 272 by 109.
Right. Gene, it looks a little bit to some of us that this spacecraft is having a few more of these little nitpicking anomalies. After 2 days of flight, would you just summarize your feeling about the performance of the overall system?
The S-4B, that's gone, disappeared?
It sure is. If I remember the last time, it was about 250,000 miles from Earth and 350,000 from the Moon. It was going the other direction. No, I don't know when we lost data last night, but we were unable to complete that passivation. I think I told you that we got powered down to the solenoids to open up the valves, but the valves just didn't open.
Is the S-4B still good for anything, tracking practice or anything?
No, they have no active tracking capability right now. And the network, I believe, has been reconfigured for the operation, particularly the Honeysuckle site, has been reconfigured for operation in the CSM-LEM mission.
I wonder, Jack, if in one of these subsequent briefings we can have a doctor to come in and discuss Rusty Schweikert with us. His vital signs indicate that he's barely alive. I think there's a lot of interest in it.
Okay.
Gene, can you tell us the results, how you see them, of the full amplitude
test? We'll let Neil state that. He's the man that looks at the data. Go ahead.
I don't think we can state anything about the results. That's going to take some time. In the first place, the kind of data that they're trying to get out of that thing, they're trying to evaluate structural bending data, and it really doesn't lend itself to this real-time data transmission system that we use here. Even when we run the data back at very high sample rates, which we did, especially for these two burns, SPS 2 and 3, the data transmission system itself puts a small amount of noise on the actual signals coming from the vehicle, such that the people that are worried about bending modes and so on have a hard time extracting the knowledge they need out of the data. So I suspect that it'll be after the mission before we're really sure whether we got the model verification that we were attempting to get from the full amplitude stroker. I'd have to say that looking at what all the guidance and control experts and the structures people and everyone else had predicted was going to happen based on the amount of waggle we put in the bell and the weight of the vehicle and all the other things that go into it, the indications that we have are that the models that we used are pretty much right. And the test came off, both of them came off, especially the first one. There are predictions on the kind of rates we'd get and the kind of data that we would see as far as the motion the vehicle went through were right on.
Spacecraft said something about...